Hi everyone, thank you for joining this new Tech for Good podcast. And today we are discussing the Horizon funding programs from the EU. So if you are interested in innovation, you want to do innovation with your company, or you're looking for partners to innovate together with, listen to this podcast today, because we will be discussing the new program called Horizon Europe that will discuss the investments that will be made available from the EU to fund your innovation and research programs. And it's really meant as a way to improve the position of Europe. We will have two interviews in this podcast that really explain what this is all about, but also discuss what your role as a technology leader can be in all of this. So let's start with our first interview with Marco and Jürgen. Thank you for joining, Marco and Jürgen. Can you please introduce yourself?
Thanks, Pascal. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for the opportunity to explain a bit what is Horizon 2020, Horizon Europe program, and what we are doing. My name is Marco Cantone. I'm responsible for European public affairs for Fujitsu, based in Brussels. So what we do is basically trying to follow the European legislation on one side. On the other side, it's really working on innovative projects and trying to understand where there are opportunities for companies, large and small, to join this project.
Okay, so you're very much aware of what has been going on in the funding structure and Horizon 2020, the type of projects, but you're also very much aware of what's now in the plans for the coming years from the EU as well.
Yeah, it's really important to work closely with the European Commission and all the other stakeholders, institutional and non-institutional, in order to understand what will be the new priorities, also influence in a positive way, putting forward comments to the European Commission that is always open to receive, suggestions from all kind of stakeholders, academics, non-academics.
Okay, thank you very much, Marco. The other expert in our conversation today is Jürgen. Jürgen, can you introduce yourself as well?
Hi, Pascal. My name is Jürgen Neises. I'm a mathematician working in the scientific computing and IT innovation field since about 1990. I worked on international subsidies projects during my dissertation and many innovation projects are national funded projects, German programs, international programs like FP7, Horizon 2020.
So let us go to the first discussion topic. And can you explain what the EU is doing with all these funding schemes and frameworks and so on? I think this already started a couple of years ago, right? I'm not even sure about the date, but you probably know all the details around this. But can you explain to us where we are in all of this? We hear words like Horizon 2020 and Horizon Europe, but can you give us a bit of insight on what's going on?
Horizon 2020 is the largest public program funding research and innovation in the world. That's really a big box with a lot of money. Horizon 2020 has a budget of around 80 billion, lasting for 7 years at disposal of all stakeholders interested in working on innovation and development in all the European member states, and in some cases also in third countries that are associated for some specific topic and in order to work with the European Commission. I was saying we are in a transition phase, because from 2021 the new Horizon Europe program will start, and it's looking like will be even bigger in terms of budget. Probably, well, the Commission suggested a budget of around 100 billion. Probably will be slightly reduced, also due to the actual, difficult times we are facing. But we need to consider that probably UK will be excluded, and UK was taking large part of the Horizon 2020 previous program budget. So we do see a lot of opportunities, because also, looking at the priorities of the new Horizon Euro program, a lot of budget will go to a digital sector applied in different verticals.
How does this work? So if you're a researcher, is this only for private companies? Is this for public companies? So can you be part of this funding? Can you use this funding for your own kind of projects? Can you maybe explain how that works from a EU perspective, in your view?
Well, it's kind of a large European research and innovation program fostering the development of the European Union and regarding growth, citizens, societal challenges, say for example, health, energy, transport, secure societies, border control, critical infrastructures. All these are topics which are funded for research and innovation along the strategic agenda of the European Union. With technologies which are used there, this program shall foster and facilitate and convey measures to improve the situation. There are so-called calls for proposals. So some actions are proposed by the European Union, and they claim challenges and scopes, and you can apply for this, make proposals for interdisciplinary projects with international teams consisting of research, of associations, of large-scale companies, SMEs. The European Union is fond of SMEs, so they really are happy if SMEs apply. And you get lots of support by your so-called national contact points, which help you to find consortia, groups, teams, and find the right place in the program for you.
Okay, but that means any SME can go to the AU and say, okay, I would like to have this portion of the funding because I would like to do this program. Is it how it works?
But not completely. The work is you organize around these calls for proposals, the actions the EU wants to have, and you organize teams. And these teams propose a project. And there are matchmaking events, so-called proposal days, where people, consortia, companies meet, and the so-called national contact points can explain to every organization what's the scope, where, how can they fit into these calls, and helping them in matchmaking and finding the right groups.
Okay, so these are more like consortia doing these kind of projects together. But how do you even find the other partners for these kind of topics?
Well, it's a networking game. So you need to find the visit or at least observe these events, the ICT's proposal days, for example. And as I said before, you can walk into your national contact point and ask, okay, I have these topics and I would like to do something on that field in innovation. What's up? And they can support you in finding the right consortia, the right calls, and introduce you to their network.
So how does the EU funding relate to the sustainable development goals? Because there seems to be a sort of connection, right? There are some goals defined by the United Nations. And I think, partly this funding is also for execution or getting to these results. What is your view on the relation between the SDGs, EU funding, but also the role of technology?
Well, the relation between Horizon 2020, now very soon Horizon Europe and SDGs will be even stronger because the Commission was very explicit in the need to be really missions and target focused and aligned with the SDGs. Promoted by the UN. So the new program Horizon Europe in particular will have concrete missions. Some of them are, for example, fighting cancer, poverty, getting new technologies, for example, for smart cities and many others, where of course technology plays a key role, but not technology only, as we were mentioning. We need really a very good and high-level mix of expertise in each project consortia, where you mix great technology companies with very high-level academics, small companies, startups, innovation, many different ingredients, you know, to make an excellent soup, I would say. The previous program, just to also to go very concrete, the Horizon 2020, funded already very concrete actions. Let's think about, for example, the three supercomputers funded in in Spain, Barcelona, Finland, and Italy that will develop and support high-level projects with very concrete deliverables for the society. So both Horizon Europe and the previous and actual program Horizon 2020 are really focused to be very concrete and bring in benefits for society.
Okay, I get that point. And I also see when I look at the EU projects that have been running in the past, and I'm looking into some of the details of that now, then the claim results like, new planets have been discovered, 1.6 million Ebola vaccines are made available, and so on. So this is not only about research, this seems to be really practical results that really have an impact on things which are going on, right? So I think the Ebola vaccines, of course, are a very actual theme currently. But of course, also all the other topics have such a wide scope and have such a big impact. Do you believe these are real results coming from these projects, or are these more like claims? Because of course you need to justify your EU project, but yeah, it's more like maybe a research document or something. What's your view on that one?
These are results of the project, and it's part of the project to have impact. And you need to show in the proposal you make that you will have impact and how you want to achieve the impact of your project.
Okay, now I understand that as one of the participants in all of this, yeah? So, of course, if you do a project, you need to make sure you deliver the results of this project also because you get funding. But I'm not talking about individual projects here. I'm talking about the overall EU scheme, the EU framework, and the way you can claim the results, right, as outcome of this funding scheme. Is your view, maybe more holistic view, is your view that these kind of projects are the core for innovation for Europe? Is this the part where it all comes together and brings Europe to the next level?
Horizon 2020 and the next Horizon Europe won't by themselves save Europe or increase the level of funding and results on innovation alone. They need strong cooperation with member states, because every member state, they have their own research and innovation program. So it's really important to cooperate at different levels, the local level, the national level, and also the European level and the international level. So that's why Horizon 2020 and the next Horizon Europe most likely will have special cooperation programs with other countries like Japan, like US, like Canada, that are at the same level of R&D investments, and in some cases also with a bit, let's say, poorest countries that are lagging a bit behind. So there is a need to cooperate all together. We have a different, let's say, level of results. Some projects, they are very specific and they deliver concrete results that we can easily measure because they are focusing on a specific, let's say, niche topics, niche challenge that we want to solve. Other projects are big largest, and they have a large approach, like the, for example, the AI for EU flagship program project that is now currently ongoing. That is a wide AI on demand platform that is going to be developed through a huge investment of the European Commission. So if you think about this specific project, there will be many specific deliverables, many specific results that will be available for European users. But at the same time, a large project like that needs to cooperate with national projects, with national investments. Otherwise, there won't be a concrete impact on that, on the society.
Okay, so I think this is a really good example. So you were talking about AI for EU. I think if you look at the overall position of Europe in the topic of AI, let's pick up on that one. I think if you look at other regions like China, they really have big investments, right, on AI. So They have a lot of data available, big investments to be really strong on AI. And I think they see themselves as one of the core players in AI just because of this. But also, if you look at other regions like Russia, well, they have some other reasons why to do this. But I think they also want to be strong, right? If you look at the US, big investments. And I think if you look at Europe, it's a bit all over the place. If you look at the different countries and they have their own initiatives, but it's not like really aligned yet. Do you see the AU project, and in this case, Horizon Europe, as the way forward for Europe to become a strong AI player?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the way forward. We need definitely, and this is clear in the draft strategy of the European Commission for the next 5 years on AI, that is now currently under public consultation, so all the stakeholders can add comments and new ideas to improve the actual strategy that will be then adopted by the end of the year, likely. There is a need for increasing the funding. That's clear, because we need to come closer to the level of investment of US, China, and maybe other third countries. But there is also a need to improve the cooperation between the European Commission and the member states. We also need to improve the synergies between public and private. So there will be probably an AI public-private partnership launched by the European Commission very soon, because in this way we can actually leverage the public funding with the private investments. That's really important. There are many initiatives to improve the participation and increase the participation of small companies and startups, and merge the expertise with the large companies. And the last but not least, there is a clear intention of the European Commission to invest a lot on digital skills, particularly AI, let's say, related skills, in order to make available for the market, and for the jobs market in particular, all the opportunities that are coming with the AI. So there is a large plan to improve, let's say, the performance of AI in Europe, and the final goal is not, let's say, to have a better AI in Europe, but to have AI supporting citizens and society in Europe. That's the key point.
Okay, so last question from my side. So if many of our audience are people who are digital leaders for public organizations, private organizations, and so on, what should they do with Horizon Europe now? Because I think this is the time where they need to start thinking about it and to make collaborations and with others and and set up these working modes with other companies and so on. What should they do? What's your advice to them?
For European leaders of small and large companies, you need to be visionary, but at the same time, very concrete. You need to be visionary because you need to look ahead and to understand how the new technologies can support the society. You need also to be, and that's really important, in particular for European programs, open for collaboration in partnerships with different kind of stakeholders. So not, private, public, academic, non-academic companies. And also with different mindsets, because many people are coming from different countries. So, you need to be able to work with people that normally they don't have the same approach that you have. And that's something that enrich you. It's not only a challenge, but it's something also very, very positive. The last point I will suggest is also to try and to see and to look at the big picture in 3 years from now. And trying to work together with your partners in order to have to reach something at very high level, and that is something really ahead that is not in place yet, but can be really successful in the near future.
And Jürgen?
Yeah, we will see lots of preparation for the new Horizon Europe program on both sides, either at the EU and in the community, RMI community. So, if you are not participating in the European RMI framework yet, I would advise you to have a look at your RMI agenda. Where are the spaces where you need collaboration or input, or where you you would see some impact by input and collaboration with others, and then check this with the upcoming agenda. Ask your national contact point, observe the European Union's websites and events. There shall be, or there is planned, considering the current situation, a huge event in Cologne, Germany, the ICT 2020 at the beginning of December. This is an event where you will meet many projects, many experts, and I guess almost the complete network of people who are active in the program yet. And so there you will get lots of information, lots of contacts, and it will be a big waterhole for the complete community.
Thank you very much, Marco and Jürgen, for this interview. It was very nice to have this conversation with you, and looking forward to see what will be the outcome of Horizon Europe in the future. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Pascal.
So our second interview of this podcast will be with John Soldatos. He is already on the call, so thank you for joining, John.
Thank you very much, Pascal, for the opportunity. I'm John Soldatos. Just for the record, I'm an academic, so I'm a professor at Athens and Glasgow. And I'm also a research and development and innovation consultant to several enterprises, including some high-tech startups.
Can you take us a bit back in where it all started, so we have get a bit of an understanding how this works from the AU? So can you explain what Horizon 2020 is, and also a bit of where we are and the current status?
Yes. Well, the framework programs for research and development are not something new. They have been since the formation of the European Union, and there has been some continuations and successive programs of different nature. Currently, we are running the program which is called Horizon 2020. That was the program that started in 2014 and extends till 2020. It's approximately 80 billion euro funding program to support all sorts of innovations in different sectors and for different types of organizations, including universities, SMEs, and startups, but of course, support of larger enterprises. This is a program that has been running for almost 6 years, and we are moving closer to its end.
Okay, because we are now in 2020, does it mean it's all finished this year, or how can we see this position of Horizon 2020?
Yeah, it's nominally finishing end of this year, and a new framework program will start from 2021. This is called Horizon Europe.
Can we maybe talk a bit more about Horizon 2020, just to get a bit of a view on what it has been? Can you explain what kind of topics were part of that, but also some concrete results that came out of this?
Yeah, in general, there is a very broad range of topics. So on the one hand, the program aimed at supporting Europe in the so-called industrial leadership. So, you know, developing the technologies of the future. On the other hand, it aimed at addressing societal challenges. So, you know, there is a prominent link to the tech for good for this. So you can imagine things like healthcare and circular economy, for example, which is a hot topic nowadays as per the EU New Green Deal. Also, what was introduced in Horizon 2020 and was particularly interesting was a program dedicated to supporting high-tech, innovative, small, medium enterprises, small, medium businesses. So the so-called SME instrument. So this was first introduced in Horizon 2020, and it was an accelerator-like type of program aiming at support disrupting innovations to reach the market faster and at higher scale.
Sometimes this is referred to as a sort of research and innovation program, but is it only research based in that sense, or are there also really concrete results out of this, which are, well, already usable for organizations to work with, or what's your view on that?
You know, the program covers from basic research and more market-facing instruments that are aiming to put products closer to the markets. For example, the SME instrument was one kind of such program, right? So it aimed at helping small, medium businesses to put their innovation to market faster, attract customers, and so on. So typically, the outcome of an Horizon 2020 program, if not, you know, basic research, it would be at the pre-competitive stage. But there are also instances of results that are closer to the market. So depending on the type of program, on the type of funding, there are different instruments. You can get the results on the market in horizons ranging from 1 to 2 years, of course, to longer horizons like 5 years. So that depends, you know, on the kind of program and on the type of instruments.
Like you just explained, we are now in 2020, which means there are still a couple of projects going on, maybe even this year or maybe even next year. But also Horizon Europe has been announced. What is your view on Horizon Europe, and can you explain what the structure is all about? I also understood that there are some new elements in this, some learnings from Horizon 2020. Things are done a bit different. Can you talk us through how this works?
Yes. Well, first of all, we don't know all the details yet, especially, you know, individuals like me. We are not working, you know, inside the commission, but we have just been participating in the programs. But of course, we know that it's going to be another ambitious research program. The budget is the total budget is approximately a plan to be around 100 billion euro. Of course, you may understand that this is still under some negotiation, and maybe now that we have the COVID-19 pandemic, there will be certainly some budgetary discussions that may affect this program positively or negatively remains to be seen. In terms of structure, what the European Commission has announced is that it's going to be more an evolution of Horizon 2020 rather than a revolution. So rather than, you know, changing the program completely, they are going to incorporate some lessons learned and best practices for Horizon 2020. But the structure will be more or less the same. So traditionally, what the European Commission is trying to do is first, you know, to make all these programs less bureaucratic and to keep the innovation cycles faster. Of course, you understand that this is not always very easy because these are competitive programs. They involve evaluations. They involve contract signature processes. So, you know, as we know, all this can take a few months, but the idea of the Commission and the intention is to shorten these innovation cycles and to make them more compatible to the innovation cycles that we actually have in the market, right? Because in the companies, especially in smaller companies, we are more agile in producing results. So there are going to be always some changes in this direction, so less bureaucracy, faster innovation cycle. Of course, the topics will be renewed and updated to face the new realities and, of course, to face the technology evolution and the new challenges. You know, maybe we can talk about the topics a little bit more, but you can think that the idea is that they have to support Europe's industrial strengths in some areas like you know, Industry 4.0, where Europe is particularly strong, but also some challenges like sustainability and circular economy. And of course, at the technological forefront, it's very important to upgrade all the digital infrastructures and to evolve them to directions like sixth generation of mobile communications, artificial intelligence, expanded use of artificial intelligence in many different sectors, and so on.
Okay, if I look at this new structure, and you were already talking about some of these elements, I also see three pillars which are mentioned, like open science, the global challenges, and industrial competitiveness. and pillar three, the open innovation. What's your view on this pillar? What's the idea behind this structure with the new pillars?
Well, you know, this is the very high level structure because as we go, this is specialized into more specific areas. However, you know, as you understand, the open science is about enabling European scientists to have the resources they need to produce excellent results. And this, and of course, to be able to share resources and to collaborate. And this is all about open data, but also access to the proper infrastructures like computational resources, cloud, and so on. And then, of course, the other pillar you mentioned is about ensuring the industrial competitiveness of Europe. So this means, you know, staying at the forefront of the technological developments. We know that there is really a big competition there, for example, in topics like artificial intelligence. United States, China, they are advancing and they are working intensively on this topic. This is also a flagship topic for European Union, so a lot of support is going to be given there. But this is, you know, just one example. As I said, there are much more other topics of industrial leadership.
I also understood that one of the parts is the new European Innovation Council. It sounds a bit like a very practical way of bringing ideas and research from the lab to real-world applications. Is that different than it has been done in the past? Is this something new?
I think, you know, this is another maybe innovation or change, you know, in the structure of the program. I think we will see this program, you know, moving more to an entrepreneurial spirit and an accelerator type of program. So, you know, giving funding for to giving grant funding to companies that have a potential for high growth, accelerated growth, and exponential growth, but at the same time, doing helping them to do the right bonding, leveraging additional private investment, and so on. So we are going to see this SME instrument that I mentioned earlier evolving to this accelerator program, and this is going to be under the EIC Council to the best of my knowledge. So, you know, state public funding, European taxpayers' money, but managed more in an entrepreneurial spirit and in a way that can maximize, you know, the return on investment on this money based on best practices of the industry, because this is what you know, acceleration programs, entrepreneurial programs are all about.
If you look at the goals of Horizon Europe, they also talk about climate change and well, improve quality of daily lives and so on. So it's a very wide range of goals which are have been set also as part of this program. But how do you see the role of technology in all of this? Is this one of the core components?
Well, you know, on the one hand, in this program, you develop excellent technology. On the other, you have to use cutting-edge technology in order to solve societal challenges. Maybe, you know, this is also a place where parts of this program meet the Tech for Good purpose and the sustainable goals, the Sustainable Development Goals objectives, in the sense that technology is a key enabler, right, for solving these challenges. Then, through this funding program, you have also the opportunity to finance projects that may not have a tangible or immediate return on investment, but rather, you know, serve societal purposes or societal goals. So this program gives the opportunity for this, and in that sense, it complements you know, the other return on investment generating direction, right? That means that you finance infrastructural projects, long-term projects, sustainability projects that may not have green projects, right, as per the EU new Green Deal. So you can finance projects that they don't have a tangible or an immediate return on investment. So you can leverage public funding or public-private partnerships through this program to support this kind of project. So I see also a good link to the Tech for Good objectives and to a lot of societal challenges that they don't have a proven business model or a tangible ROI in the short term.
Okay, but do you also see a very explicit relation between the SDGs in this case and the funding scheme? So another way to say it, do you see this program as the execution of getting to these SDG goals?
Yes, and some of the sustainability goals, I can mention, previously I talked about the circular economy, but of course we can drill down and mention other aspects like, you know, energy efficiency. So other areas that improve the environmental performance, for example, and there are going to be a lot of projects like this funded through this this program. Also, another good area is probably healthcare and well-being. Of course, we know there are many sustainability-related projects there, and these are going to be among the societal challenges and sustainable development goals that will be pursued by the program.
A lot of our audience, they are working for private or public organizations. What is the way that they can participate in all of this?
Well, I think the if we talk about the process, I think this won't change much from Horizon 2020. So in short, the process is that an organization needs to be registered to the European Commission's database for the program. And of course, for the collaborative partners, it needs for the collaborative projects, it needs to partner with the right organizations for the projects and for the applications that they are targeting. So that's the short answer and probably the easy part and the straightforward part. But in practice, things are a bit more challenging, especially for newcomers, because we have to explain that all these grants, or the vast majority of these grants, are competitive grants, which means that you have to respond to a call for proposals, and only the best proposals are selected for funding. So this means that you have to do whatever possible to maximize your chances through being excellent in your team, of course, in your idea, and of course in the way you present your proposal, which is not always very easy. It's a challenging task. So what I would say, it's also very important to align this program to your research and innovation strategy. So to actually, out of a sea of different instruments and call for proposals, to focus on the one that align perfectly to your development goals, to your line of business, and to your research or innovation strategy. Also, the same holds for universities, right? We haven't talked about them very much during this podcast, but universities are also participating in the program, and they are supporting their research strategy through funding, and also funding of PhDs, basic research, and so on.
So companies are aligning their strategies for innovation and research with the program from Horizon Europe. That's what you're saying, right? So they're also looking for the projects that are really in sync with what they're trying to achieve in their research agenda. So what kind of funding can they expect? Is this 50% coverage of these kind of projects? So what type of funding can they expect once you want to do a research program? Is there something you can say in more generic terms on this?
Yes, I think we've got the experience, you know, of Horizon 2020. We don't know exactly the percentages of the new program, but because it's likely that the H2020 scheme will be followed, so more high-risk research projects, so the so-called research and innovation actions, were funded 100%. For all participants, including large industries, including SMEs, but also universities. The programs that were closer to the market had a funding rate, a lower funding rate of 70% most of the times, some of the times, sometimes less, even less, 50%. That's for programs that are more market-facing, so that they are much closer to the market, not attempting research. So if you account that the Commission justifies also to 25% overheads as a flat rate for most companies and most programs, this means that they are really a very good vehicle from the funding perspective. However, as I said, if you want to get the most out of these programs, you really have to do this alignment with the things that you really want to do. So your products, the services you provide, the new product areas that you would like to open, and so on. I think that's how you can get maximum benefit from this program.
Okay, if you look at our audience, a lot of the audience is working in IT or in technology, and they're often in a technology leadership role. What would you say to them in their daily job? How can they pick up on what's going on from the AU?
They have a very good opportunity, especially if they enter these Horizon Europe applications and they are able to attract funding. They have some very good opportunity to complement their existing research and innovation activities with EU funding, so they can get a significant boost in your existing research and innovation strategies. Of course, they can have also the opportunity to kick off new lines of development, maybe new product or new business cases inside the company, and use the EU instruments to finance them. However, because there are always people that would argue that, okay, the program might not be compatible 100% to their operations, and this is pretty understandable. For example, as I said before, innovation cycles may be faster internally in a company. I think what is important is to create first a strategy so that you align your research and innovation endeavors with the EU funding, and you use it in the most appropriate way, knowing the limitations, the opportunities, but also the limitations of it. Now, for smaller companies, I think they can get even more benefit, in my opinion, because this grant funding is an opportunity to grow their business, to support their products, to support their research, to roll out innovative developments without granting equity on their company, which, as we know, is always a headache when companies talk and negotiate with venture capitals or other type of private investors. So this is a very good funding opportunity. And because, of course, it's competitive, it's quite difficult to become among the top proposers. But if you manage to get there, you have a great opportunity to secure funding for your activities without granting equity on your product and your business. So, you know, I would say that for small medium enterprises, the opportunities are greater and even more promising than the R&Ds of larger enterprises. And of course, for universities, maybe universities are more into this. They know that this is a vital source of funding for them. And actually, it's how many European universities and research centers support PhDs, research programs, internal development, the development of their labs, and so on.
Okay, John, thank you very much for your answer so far. That brings me to my last question for today in this podcast. Can you share your own view on what will happen with the Horizon projects the coming months?
I think that we are going to see a major impact of COVID-19 on the Horizon Europe program, and certainly a major impact on how the topics will shape. Of course, as I said, because some budgetary discussions are pending, and these have now moved at the top level, I think that there might be some influence on the final budget. Of course, it remains to be seen. I hope this impact would be on the positive side for the program rather than on the negative side, because in the last few weeks, we understand that research is the basic weapon we have to advance and to solve big problems, big crises like the COVID-19 healthcare crisis.
Thank you very much for this conversation, John. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I would like to thank you very much, Pascal, for the opportunity and for the good questions.